One thing that was mentioned in our business meeting yesterday was that we truly feel God will continue to bless us as long as we continue to be faithful. He doesn't ask us to have great buildings or massive numbers of people or a half dozen buses out front or anything else. He does ask us, though, and tells us we have to be faithful. In other words, we have to follow His Word and be faithful to it. Because ultimately, the only thing that's important is having God's approval. We may lose all of our friends in this life. We may not have a lot of money in this life. We may not have much power or status in life. But none of that really matters, because ultimately, in the end, the only thing that does matter is, does God approve of us? What's our relationship with God? So we have a responsibility then to know His Word and to follow it. And that kind of leads us into our topic this morning, and that's the topic of faith and works. There is a great deal of confusion in the religious world about faith and works. And it really all boils down to one reason why there's so much confusion, and that is, we do not take God's Word, many people do, for what it says. We'll either add to God's Word or we'll take away from God's Word. Traditions, men's traditions, are not the same thing as God's Word. History is not the same thing as God's Word. Just because people have been taught this over years doesn't make it true. The only thing that makes something true is whether God has said it and taught it in His Word. That's the only thing that makes it true. So if we're concerned about faith and works, whether there's a relationship between them, whether we're saved by one or the other, or whatever we're discussing about faith and works, the only thing that's important is what God has said about faith and works. And we know from going to the New Testament that often those terms are used in different ways. And we often say that it's the context that's so important. And we'll see that this morning. We need to never be guilty of taking God's Word out of the setting in which it was said. So that requires more effort on our part, though. We have to do more time and put more effort into studying God's Word to know what He is talking about. Otherwise, we might end up, like many in the world, very confused about this idea of faith and the idea of works and what are they or what are they not. But it's a very, very important topic. And the only way to know what it says, again, is to go to God's Word. One letter written by Paul that addresses faith and works a great deal is the letter that he wrote to the churches in the area of Galatia. We'll primarily just look at two of those chapters, Galatians chapter 2 and Galatians chapter 3, and only a few verses of those. But these are critical for us to understand. So critical. The first passage we want to examine is found in Galatians chapter 2, and we'll read verses 15 and 16. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. I said the context is so important. When we look at the context of the very beginning of the book, this was written to Christians. This was written to Christians. These people had obeyed Christ. They had experienced the new birth. They were Christians. Some had came out of Jewish backgrounds. Some had came out of Gentile backgrounds. And much of the book is about understanding the law of Moses. And whether it still had any power left. If one could be saved by the law of Moses still. So, Galatians chapter 2, notice verses 15 and 16. Paul writes, and remember, Paul's background was Jewish. He was raised a Jew, went to a school for Jewish people. Remember, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a great Jewish teacher. So, Paul was reared and steeped in the law of Moses. But recall, on the road to Damascus, he was confronted with Christ and then was told to go and he would be taught what the truth now was. And so now he is teaching the truth to other people based upon being inspired by the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, we who are Jews by nature, that's what Paul was. Paul was a Jew by nature, was born a Jew, raised a Jew, and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now notice this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So what's he talking about? In verse 15, he just mentioned, we who are Jews by nature. What law did the Jewish people honor and obey for centuries? The law of Moses. He had taught the church at Ephesus, Paul had. He had taught the church at Colossae. Both of those, he had taught that that law of Moses was what? Nailed to the cross. It was no longer the law under which anybody was under, regardless of their background. So Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. The law. The law of Moses. The law of Moses couldn't save anyone. Couldn't justify anyone. Because it wasn't the law people were under anymore. And it didn't even have that power when it was in effect. So why would anybody think that one could be justified by the works of the law of Moses? Well, they couldn't. What had Jesus done? The Bible says Jesus had ushered in a new covenant, a new law. And it was this new law that everyone was under. Sometimes this law is called the faith of Christ. It is a law that people are under. Not the law of Moses, but we must obey this new law. Notice what he wrote to the church at Rome. He covered this same subject in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, we see that Christ ushered in, brought in, instituted a new law, different than the old one, different than the law of Moses. Paul writes to the church there, therefore, there is therefore now, at the present time, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, what law is he talking about? What law is he talking about in the book of Romans? Law of Moses. That's what the context is, and we don't want to stray from the context. The law of Moses was weak through the flesh, so what did God do? By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We walk according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what He's talking about. Today, we're to walk according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the law that we're to live according to. In this same book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 6, Paul reminds them of a duty under this new law, this new covenant that Jesus brought in, that Jesus ushered in. Paul writes, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, you and I, and all of those of us this side of the cross, must obey the law of Christ. It doesn't make any difference who they are or where you live or whatever. You're under the law of Christ. not under the law of Moses or any other law anymore. It's the law of Christ. And it's the law that's going to judge us. Jesus told those people, John chapter 12, that my words in the last day will judge you. My words will judge you. It's not the law of Moses that's going to judge you. He's talking, of course, about the people this side of the cross. His words. So the works of the law of Moses could not save, could not justify. But the law of Christ, the faith of Christ, the law of faith, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, could. It could save. But the works of the law of Moses could not. Well, Galatians chapter 3, the second text we want to look at, beginning in verse 2. Paul asked them a question. These Christians in the area of Galatia, there were several congregations he was writing to. He begins in verse 2, Galatians 3, verse 2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, works of the law of Moses, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Again, the question is, what law is he talking about? Any law? No. He's strictly talking about and only talking about the law of Moses. How do we know that? We go back to Deuteronomy chapter 27, which was part of the law of Moses. We will show that he was strictly talking about the law of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 27, beginning in verse 26. And then we'll go back to Galatians and show where he quotes this verse to show what he's talking about. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26 says, "Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law." Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul writes, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.'" So what works of what law is he talking about? Well, he quotes the law of Moses. So that's what he's talking about, the law of Moses. To extend that to anything else would be to take God's word out of context and make it say something it's not saying. Paul makes it clear he is talking here, when he's talking to the people in this area of Galatia, that he's talking about the works of the law of Moses. He says, "You did not receive the Spirit by doing the works of the law of Moses." He says, "You receive the Spirit by having faith in Christ, the faith of Christ." He says, that's how it happened. The Spirit, he says in verse 5, worked miracles among you. How did the Spirit work miracles among you? By the works of the law of Moses? Definitely not. But it was by the hearing of faith, faith in Christ. Why? Because Christ had brought in a new law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It was a new law. But most of the Jewish people in the first century refused to believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah. And they refused to believe that he had brought in, that he had ushered, that he had started a new law, a new covenant. Even though the prophet Jeremiah had clearly prophesied that the Messiah would do so. Let's turn back to Jeremiah 31 for a moment and read this prophecy. Jeremiah 31, and we'll begin in verse 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. Jeremiah makes this prophecy. Verse 31, Jeremiah says, "Behold, the days are coming." So sometime in the future, says the Lord, "when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. So in verse 32, what covenant was he talking about? He says, as the one when I took you out of Egypt, you know, you went through the wilderness, it was given to you at Sinai. What covenant was that? It was what we call the law of Moses. Jeremiah is saying there's coming a time when I'm going to make a new covenant. And it's not going to be like the old covenant. It's not going to be that covenant. It's going to be a new one. A new one. Well, he goes on and talks more about it. But this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, not written on tables of stone, and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It says, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. And it was the Messiah that was going to bring this new covenant into existence. It wasn't going to be written on stones. It says it's going to be written on their minds, in their hearts. See, Jesus brought a new covenant. Sometimes called the law of faith, sometimes called the faith of Christ, sometimes called the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, sometimes it's just called the law of Christ. Lots of different names. Sometimes it's simply called the new covenant. All of these referring to exactly the same thing. And it's critical when we read this that we understand when Paul says that no one can be justified or saved by the law, that he's talking about the law of Moses. Not any law, but the law of Moses. That's the context. And we certainly don't have the authority, you or I, to take that and extend it into places that Paul wasn't talking about. We don't have that right. The Holy Spirit had Paul write exactly what he wanted Paul to write. And that's what Paul is writing. Still in Galatians chapter 3, going back to verse 6, he introduces someone that they all were familiar with, Abraham. Verse 6, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. And then in verse 14 he says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, where? In Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. The Jews held Abraham in very high esteem. But Abraham was not justified by the works of the law of Moses. Why not? Abraham lived and died long before the law of Moses ever came into existence. So Abraham was justified, the Bible says. It was counted to him for righteousness. How? Not by the works of the law of Moses. Because it wasn't even in existence yet. That we know. It says Abraham was justified by faith. It says that. It was counted to him as righteousness. But when was Abraham justified by faith? The Bible is very specific. It says Abraham was justified by faith. But when does the Bible say that happened? That's just as important as knowing that he was justified by faith. The Bible clears it up for us. It doesn't leave us hanging. It answers that question if we're willing to accept what the Bible says, though. That's what it's all about. Not based on tradition or teachings of other anything. Just what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible tells us the exact moment when Abraham was justified by faith. James chapter 2 answers that question for us. James chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 21. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, and it's a very important verse. James says, and James is writing by inspiration just like Paul was. James says, was not Abraham our father justified, same word, by works? I thought we just said Abraham was justified by faith. He was. He was justified by faith. Notice what this verse says. He was justified by works when? Now this answers the question, when was Abraham justified? When was it? When he offered Isaac his son on the altar. Why did he do that? Because of his faith. But he wasn't justified until his faith actually acted. Then he was justified. He wasn't justified when he placed faith in God. He was justified by works. That's what James says. He was justified by works. And that simply tells us when he was justified. When he offered his son Isaac on the altar. So let's read on. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? See, it's not faith only, it's not works only. It's faith working through, or faith working, or with works. And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, now this is exactly the verse that Paul quoted back in Galatians chapter 3. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That verse was fulfilled. When? Well, James says it was fulfilled when by faith Abraham offered up his son Isaac on the altar. When his faith worked, that's when he was counted as righteous, not before. That proves forever. And it should prove to anyone, everywhere, that it was only when faith worked that Abraham was counted as righteous. That's when he was justified. He was justified by his faith. But when was he justified? When faith worked. And he was called the friend of God. And notice James sums it up by saying, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. I believe what the Bible says, not what many people in the world teach or many religious groups teach. I simply believe the Bible. Was Abraham justified by faith? Absolutely. Was he justified by works? Absolutely. So if both of those statements are inspired, and they are, then we know that he was justified by faith when it worked. That's what the Bible says. And no one can change that. I can't change that, and you can't change it. No one has the power to change what that Bible teaches. Because that's exactly what it teaches. And those people who do just like Abraham, whose faith works, shall be justified. Was Abraham saved by works alone? Were those works apart from faith save him? Absolutely not. They had no power in themselves. There was no merit in the works alone. But it was because he had faith in the God that had told him to do that. Have things changed? No. They're exactly the same today. James says it's when faith works that a man is justified. And we see this in one more place in Galatians, that we have time. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 23. One more instance of this same teaching, and it's such a critical teaching in our world because there is so much confusion about faith and works and what they are and what they're not. Verse 23 says, but before faith came... Now, wait a second. There was no faith back in the days of Noah? Sure there was faith. There was no faith in the days of Abraham? Sure there was. So he's not talking about faith in general. So let's figure out what he's talking about. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. Well, now we see what he's talking about. Kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor, our guardian, our schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now, what faith is he talking about in verse 23? But before faith came. He's talking about the new covenant, the law of Christ. It's the only thing that makes sense in that context. Because people believed long, long, long before Christ came. People had faith. Noah had faith. Abraham had faith. Abel had faith. They had faith. So it wasn't the general idea of faith that he's talking about. But before faith came, before the faith came, before the law of faith came, before the faith of Christ came, Paul says what? We were under a tutor. We were under the law of Moses. We were under the law of Moses. And that law of Moses was a teacher, was a guardian, was watching over us, was leading us until the faith came. Until the faith came. And he says, that law was our tutor, our guardian, to bring us to Christ. See, that's when the faith came. That we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. But after the faith has come, after the law of faith, the faith of Christ, the law of Christ, after that has come, we're not under the law of Moses anymore. And we haven't been for over 1,900 years. Not at all. Well, let's read on. Verses 26 and 27, certainly some of the most important verses in this whole letter. He says, for you, remember this was written to Christians, back in the first couple of verses, written to Christians. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Through faith. It's by faith they became sons of God. Are you and I saved by faith today? Absolutely. How do we become sons of God? It says it's through faith. That's exactly how it happens. That verse doesn't say when it happens, but it says that's the reason, that's the force behind it. It happens through faith. So we're sons of God, we're children of God by faith. And it says by faith in Christ Jesus. Some of the more modern translations actually has that prepositional phrase at the beginning. In Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God through faith, which is actually probably a better translation. We're children of God. How did it happen? Through faith. When did it happen, though? Abraham was saved by faith. But when was Abraham saved by faith? When his faith led him to obey God. We're sons of God today by faith, but when does that happen? When our faith leads us to obey God. That's been true since the beginning of time. People are saved when their faith leads them to obey God. Not before their faith leads them to obey, but after. So verse 26 says how we are saved, how we are justified, how we're counted righteous. How is it? It's by faith. Without faith, we're lost. Verse 27 tells us when it happens. So 26 says how it happens. It's by faith. Verse 27 says when it happens. When am I justified by faith? When am I counted not guilty by faith? When does that happen? Verse 27 says, For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Remember verse 26, I said a lot of translations says that in Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God. Those people in Christ Jesus are children of God. They're sons of God. How did they get there, though? How did they get into Christ? Did they believe into Christ? That's not what the verse says. Did they repent into Christ? If we're going to believe the Bible, it's not what the Bible says. Did they confess into Christ? No. Are all of those things absolutely essential? Absolutely. We can say honestly that we're saved by faith, we're saved by repentance, we're saved by confession. If someone would ask me, are you saved by confession? I'd say, absolutely I am. I'm saved by repentance. I'm just as much saved by repentance as I'm saved by confession. But none of those answers the question, when am I justified? When? Verse 27 says it answers the question when? When you are baptized into Christ. How do you get into Christ? The Bible only, if you start beginning of Matthew 1, you go to Revelation 22, and there's only one process, action, whatever, that says this is how you get into Christ. And it says you're baptized, or more properly, you're immersed. That's what it says. You're immersed into Christ. 26 says how it happens. Verse 27 says how it happened. Where are you, sons of God? You're in Christ Jesus. That's where you are. The sons of God, the children of God, are in Christ Jesus. How did they get there? They were baptized into Christ. Baptism joined them to Christ. And now for all of those whose faith led them to repent and confess and then be baptized, be immersed, they've all been joined by God in Christ. All of those who are in Christ Jesus are justified. They're saved. They've been counted not guilty. They've been counted righteous. Why? Because their faith obeyed God. Their faith led them to obey God. Like Noah, like Abraham, like the faithful of all the ages, they were all saved the same way. Their faith led them to obey God. They obeyed in different ways, depending on when and where they lived. Today, we're all under the law of Christ. And so we can only be justified and found righteous in Christ. That's where salvation is. But how do we get there? It's when our faith leads us to be immersed, to experience the new birth, to have our sins washed away. That's how we get there. Does faith justify? Absolutely. Does it pronounce us not guilty? Yes. But it's when we obey the law of Christ that it happens. The how is faith. The when is when we obey. Things haven't changed. Today is just the same as when Paul was writing to the churches at Galatia or the church at Rome or any of these others. It's the same. It's when faith leads you to obey. And this morning, if you're ready for your faith to lead you to obey, to experience the new birth, we encourage you to respond and become a New Testament Christian. Let us stand and sing.